annals of history, there has been some mighty duos.
Abbott and Costello.
Kirk and Spock.
Pippin and Jordan.
Mulder and Scully.
Batman and Robin.
Hawk and Keating. Well, maybe not that one.
Don't waste your time on me, son.
But you get the idea.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these two men
will try and make sense of the world with their words.
And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish.
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
The Ringer. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen,
and Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan.
Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Scotty, I used to be on the Radio Masters.
And Ben, the Governor Edwards.
It is episode 23 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the crew at Lang's Auto, 44 Yass Road in Queanbeyan, and of course The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm Benny Edwards.
And here we go. Just you and I tonight, mate. Episode 23. I think we've got 7 left for the year, so I think we will end on episode 30.
And we're taking a full 8 weeks off.
Is we're doing the tradie thing, essentially.
We deserve it.
At the start of December, come back at the start of February. That's how Canberra works.
We deserve it, man. We're the public servants of the podcast industry.
Oh, I've got some public servant mates that don't get that. Oh, actually, no, they do. And they get Duna days as well, where they just don't have to show up and say, I just don't feel right today. Oh, hey. Okay, cool. Have the day off.
I like that.
Fantastic. You've earned your 7 hours and 36 minutes today. No Stevie P tonight. No special guests. So we're going old school today, mate. Just you and I. But we've got plenty.
What are we
going
to do?
We've got plenty to talk about. I've got a top five coming up because I've got a lot of guests coming to town this weekend with
the
big wedding, mate. So driving in Canberra, we know how to do it because we've been here for a long time, but you need to know the Canberra specific rules, and there are plenty of them.
There certainly are. We are very my mum always said, especially because we lived all over the place before we settled in Canberra, but I was too young to
remember it.
The first thing that stood out for my mum about Canberra was best roads, worst drivers.
Yeah, nice. You be croaky, mate. You get croaks again.
I don't know. I feel fine. Maybe it's the 2 sips of Corona I've had.
The cold Corona. See, when you've got a busted hand and you're not training, Benny's, I'll have a beer, thanks. I'll have a beer.
I'm all or nothing, man.
How is the hand, man, by
It's
the
all
way?
Right, yeah. Don't need surgery. Just the ligaments are a bit stretched out and bruised. And I've broken the smallest bone in the human body.
That not everyone has in that
hand. No. Yeah, right. See, it's an ossicle. Like 10% of the people have them in their feet.
Yep.
I couldn't even find out what percentage have them in their hands. But it's just a useless bone that just sits there, doesn't really do anything. It looks sort of like a wing nut.
Okay.
It's like a weird little butterfly sort of shape.
Yeah, right.
But it's as big as a fingernail.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. But you've got no grip strength in your hand at the
moment. No, and it's really weird. I was just saying to you off air, it doesn't feel like I injured it punching. Like, I've obviously had plenty of punching injuries. It just feels like someone's shaking my hand and just crushed my hand.
Yeah, right.
So it's a weird injury. It must have just hit his head on a funny angle.
Mate, Shane Tippett didn't shake your hand too hard when he handed over the cash at the end of the night,
No, not at all. He was good. He was good.
Mate, we've got a great listener question coming up. Some great music as well. Biffarama, I know it's been a quiet week, but we still found some pretty entertaining fight audio, didn't we?
Yeah, we sure did. Old Tony Bellew, he's the WBC Cruiserweight champ, so he's a legit guy. Like 90 kilos, he's top 3 guys in the world.
Yep.
And obviously just got his call to fame from the Creed movie. He was the bad guy in Creed at the start of this year. Or was it
Hayes
this year?
Wasn't he? Or was that Bellew?
That was Tony Bellew.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
He was the bad guy.
I can't remember
his
character in the movie.
Yeah, me neither. But, my Scottish mate Graham tagged me in it on Facebook and went, check this out, mate. This could be good for the podcast.
Yeah, I saw him firing up and I thought, that's pretty cool, but it's a bit hard to understand. But then I rewatched it and we definitely made the right call.
Mate, we're big in Scotland. All of our Scottish friends will be understanding
it's the family,
no
man.
Dramas
it's
whatsoever. The So we'll get to that. And also, we're going to put up a question to our listenership.
You need help.
I do need help. I need help with my bloody dog. Seriously. Like,
he's a ball of energy.
He's a ball, but he won't sleep. He'll sleep all day, and I'll walk around the house waking him up all day, take him for walks, wear him out in the backyard, throwing the ball around. You think we can get him to sleep through the night?
Yeah.
No chance in hell. Anyway, we're going to put it out to the internet and see if we can come up. Maybe people have had this before because I've had Staffies before. Staffies, you know, notoriously pretty naughty dogs. They'll do some pretty naughty stuff.
But
this guy doesn't chew stuff.
He's another level.
This guy just won't sleep. He's like the second baby a lot of parents have out there that go through
there's
that
OCD.
Whole sleep thing. Oh, it's bizarre. But anyway, we'll get to all that. Thought we'd kick off the song. Uh, thought we'd Thought we'd kick off the podcast with a pretty apt song, considering what I'm doing this weekend.
It's a big day.
A little bit of Billy Idol time. I love this. And the Wedding Singer. Just what a fantastic movie.
Is this the song Billy tried to play at the grand final a few years ago and they couldn't play? Or we don't even know. He didn't even get that far.
No, he didn't get that far because they ran out. They blew all the power to the
because they bought, wasn't it amps from New Zealand or something? They didn't work with the Australian sort of thing.
Who knows?
Because every time I think of Billy Idol, I think of that instead of all the glorious music he did in the years before that. One little mistake and change everything.
I've got to actually, when we come back out of this, I've got a great Billy Idol story that I heard from Michael Chugg, the legendary Aussie tour promoter. So I'll tell you after this. So let's get stuck into it and kick off episode 23 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Nice day to start again. That was Billy Idol with White Wedding, and this is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty and Ben. And I was about to go to our Eye in the Sky, but you've got a Billy Idol story for us.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, we just mentioned before we played the song. Years and years ago, Michael Chugg was at one of the radio stations I was at in Sydney, and I mean, Chuggy's been around forever. He's brought all the biggest bands in the world to Australia. His book, Hey You in the Black T-Shirt, is a fantastic read.
Yeah.
I think I've got it out there. I'll give it to you before you go today. It's a great read. But, yeah, no, they did a tour of Billy Idol in the 90s when Billy was still quite large, and hugely successful tour, and as was back in the day in the late 80s, early 90s. You know, it wasn't too far afield for the promoter to put on a big night for the band and crew. So they did that, and it was at Studebaker's in King's Cross, which was an old 50s rock and roll club.
So they played a gig that night.
Played a gig that night at the Entertainment Centre or wherever it was. It was the last gig of a sellout tour of Australia. So Chuggy and that made a lot of money and went, let's put on a big night. So they hired a bunch of ladies of ill repute, if you will, for the band, about 10 or 15 of them. You know, got all the beer, all the drugs, all the everything. Billy Idol showed up with the band. He's taken one look at all these birds, gone and locked himself in a back room with the 15 girls and didn't come out for 8.5 hours. And when he came out, they had to leave to get to the airport to fly out him and his touring party. But the head roadie for Billy Idol broke Billy Idol's arm. Because the whole road crew were dirty that they didn't get to have a piece of tail. Jeez. And, yeah, the head roadie got in a fight with him and broke Billy's arm before he had to jump on a flight back to L.A.
Wowzers. Yeah. Sharon's not caring, apparently.
Yeah, no, that's right. No, Billy should have shared around the love, but he didn't. He locked himself in
the
room.
Well, he paid the price.
He did, indeed.
Did the head roadie keep his job?
I don't know, man. That much I don't know. But, yeah, that story's been around for a long time, and, yeah, Chuggy told me that one personally, so there you go.
Well, 15, yeah, okay, 1, 2, maybe 3, 15.
When you're a lead singer, 6, fine. Still leave a few for the band.
What about lead guitar?
Well, Steve
7
Stevens.
Or 5?
Knowing Billy's lead guitarist, Steve Stevens, he probably didn't care about the girls. He just wanted to partake in the party condiments, if you will.
Ripping the blow.
Yeah. I was trying to say it nicely without being sued, but there you go. Now, normally we'd cross to our eye in the sky, Larry, at this moment, and we're still going to cross to him, but he's not in the sky. He's
just
He's not very happy at all.
Larry here with the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast traffic report, or lack thereof. There's fuck all going on. No more footy. Bathurst is over. I suppose I could go to the Gold Coast for the V8s, but I don't want to risk being mistaken for a toolie. The chopper's parked up. I've washed it. Polished the hell out of it. The chopper, that is. But there's nowhere to fly and nothing to report. I'm kind of bored. Still fixing the tunnel on Parks Way, I know that much. Shouldn't take too much longer. Maybe 6 or 7 years until it's finished. For Christ's sake, will you people get out there and cause some accidents so I've got something to report on? This is boring as fuck. Do what you normally do. Don't use your blinker. Cut people off. Talk on your phone and do your makeup while you're trying to change lanes. I'm bored out of my mind. I'll be back next week, I hope. This shit keeps up and I'm out of a job. I am not going back to dealing.
Two men, two microphones, and no idea.
When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty Masters and Ben the Governor Edwards.
It's time to say thanks to one of our wonderful sponsors here on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, a place I'll be heading into tomorrow to buy a bunch of steaks. We're having a big family barbie on Sunday after the wedding, Benny, so I'll have to go in and buy all the T-bones, all of them.
You're in the right place, mate. And while you're there, can you grab my ham? I pull some strings?
The butcher shop at Dixon and Kaline. Mate, I was actually in there 2 days ago doing some work for the guys, and I saw one half ham on the shelf that Ian was obviously testing, getting ready for Christmas, that was put out for sale. There was one there.
Yeah.
That'll be gone by now.
Yeah.
They sold out last year, but the order books are open, folks, for Christmas. But if you don't like your hams, turkeys, they do tuckins. If you haven't had a butcher shop.
I've never had a tuckin.
Haven't you?
No.
Oh, they are so good.
And it's
so good.
Thing mushed in a turkey.
The way they do them at the butcher shop, it's a turkey breast stuffed with a duck, and then stuffed with the chicken, and you roast it, and it's got seasoning in the middle, and oh, Such a good time.
That sounds amazeballs.
Turkey rolls.
The way nature intended.
That's what it's all about, Benny. It's basically nature's orgy that you can eat is what it is. So the butcher shop, Dixon and Kayleen, get in there, get Canberra's best meat down your neck, where the quality is remembered long after the price is forgotten.
One of them put Hopper to sleep within one round. The other had his career put to sleep as part of a business restructure.
Consider it severance pay. Take the train.
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
So now it's time for another top five with Scotty.
Indeed.
What is our top five today?
Well, mate, in my new career as a marketing guru and social media manager, I spend a fair bit of time on Facebook, etc. And one of the sites that pops up in my news feeds all the time is the Canberra Drivers Facebook page.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've
seen
that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not only a chance for people to slag off poor parkers and poor drivers in the region, it gives a real insight into the mob mentality. It's funny when they have a go at Canberra just jumps on someone who can't park. But yeah, that's it. But I mean, I've been living in the Canberra region for 18 years now. You've been here pretty much your bloody whole life, Benny. And I feel if everyone who came to Canberra was given the five proper rules of driving in Canberra before they got on the roads, it'd be a lot better place.
Everything would be much smoother.
I mean, prior to all the roadworks, there's obviously stacks of roadworks at the moment, but it's a pretty easy place to get around.
Oh, very much so.
It's not hard.
There's a severe lack of one-way streets compared to the Sydney CBD.
You know, there's the old roundabout city. Yeah, there are a lot of roundabouts, but it's still bloody easy to get around.
Yeah, so, better anyway. Roundabouts than bloody traffic lights that are red all the time.
That's what I reckon. Keeps the flow. So anyway, with all that in mind and the fact that I've got a lot of guests coming to town this weekend as well, let's get stuck into this.
And now, it's another Give Yourself an Uppercut Top 5.
It is the top 5 rules for driving in the ACT.
That you sent your family coming to your wedding.
That's what I'm going to do. Yeah, I'll send them. Actually, I'll just get them to download this podcast, Benny, so they can do that.
Tell them to subscribe and download.
Indeed. Number 5, everybody thinks their vehicle is better than yours, especially soccer mums in X5 BMWs.
I'm not sure how to take that. I'm not sure. That was like a soy compliment.
You might have a soccer mum band, but you're not a soccer mum, let's be honest.
And it's not an X5. They're pretty nice, man.
Yeah, but people, I don't know, and always mums in X5s think they're above the law.
Well, I certainly do when I'm driving. You haven't felt the power until you've sat behind the wheel, Scott.
Number 4. Remember, the goal of every Canberra driver is to get there first by whatever means necessary. And those with DC number plates can do it drunk, stoned, or asleep with no fear of repercussions.
Do whatever you like. My mate Lolo that just signed for the Brumbies.
Brumbies, yeah.
One of the first things his missus said to us, she's like, this is really weird because you drive around, I do the speed limit, and people get upset at you for doing the speed limit. I'm like,
that's Canberra.
Rock on the camera.
especially through roadworks.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to come home from the radio station when Parks Way was being widened, and that was 40 through there for a good 12 months. And you sat on 40, and the soccer mums in the X5s would flip you off doing 70, screaming past roadworkers.
I've never understood that.
No.
I don't know if it's because I'm so non-confrontational.
You're not that important. You're not that important, you know? Just settle down. Number 3 in the top 5 rules for driving in the ACT. Heavy fog and rain are no reason to change any of the previously listed rules. These weather conditions are God's way of ensuring a natural selection process for panel beaters, junkyards, and new vehicle sales. It's an acceptable practice to increase your speed in comparison to the rate of rainfall, i.e. the harder it rains, the faster you f***ing go. Tell me I'm wrong.
No.
I'm not wrong. No,
you just stating facts.
No. Number 2, if you're a cyclist, remember you are invincible. You are stronger than any vehicle travelling at speed. Make sure you take the whole lane to yourself and never, ever use the lights. Remember, they'll see you.
I don't have anything positive to say about
that. I don't know. Is it something when you put on Lycra? Just like the frontal lobe shuts
it's
down?
Just, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it is, man. I think they're above the law.
Yeah, they do. And that is tarring one group with a very big brush, but you know.
I've got one mate who's a cyclist.
That's our podcast and we can do what we like.
Well, actually my cousin's, he's a really good cyclist. Well,
Nigel from Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy, our good mate, he's a cyclist too, but I'm going to lump him in with
tell.
That lot.
I could tell that about Nigel.
That Nigel.
He had that aura about
it's
him.
It's the shaved legs, isn't it? That's exactly
I was
what
pretending
it is.
I didn't notice.
And number 1, there's the drum roll. In the top 5 rules for driving in the ACT, while using Canberra roundabouts, particularly 2-lane roundabouts, ensure that you're in the left lane to turn right or the right lane to turn left. Hell, let's keep people in the other lanes on their toes, for God's sake.
Hear, hear.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen, and Lang's Auto Centre, Queanbeyan. He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners.
He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Biff-O-Rama.
That's insane in the membrane.
And it's time to get stuck into the Biff with the, as he just said before on the top five, the non-confrontational Benny Edwards, which I find humorous that... You know, you punch people out for a living, but you're not confrontational at all.
I'm a walking oxymoron.
You are. Thank you for getting the oxy part in there, mate.
I've forgotten that once or twice.
Mate, a light on week, but you still found some gold for us this week. I certainly did, mate.
Obviously, the world heavyweight title between Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko was unofficially announced.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's a rumor. It's not confirmed yet. Yeah. So they're trying to lock it in for December.
And this is for Fury's belt, right?
Yes, this is for Fury's belt that he vacated himself this week.
Yep.
So he had Fury had the WBA, WBO, and IBO. So the top three ones outside of the WBC. He volunteered to give them up this week as he was going to be stripped anyway.
So who's got the other one? Is there another one? Obviously Joshua's got it, yeah.
Well, there's Joshua. Yeah. Brown's up in the mix. You got Deontay Wilder. Yeah. He's in there. It's all over the place at the moment. So if they haven't actually rescheduled the fight in the next 24 hours from the time we record this, they're not going to do the fight this year.
Okay.
So they have been in heavily negotiations and apparently they've just hit a wall with the last step. So hopefully they can get that on. If it won't be this year, it certainly will be next year. And as I just said, Fury volunteered to release all these titles as he was going to be stripped anyway.
Yep.
The British Boxing Board of Control, which the acronym is BBC, they've actually suspended his license and he's got a hearing due next month, being November.
Okay.
And I'm not sure. I could actually find out what it was for. Obviously, bringing the sport into disrepute.
Cocaine. He said positive for drugs.
I think it's going to be all of the above.
Yeah.
So I think the best
being thing, a pikey.
Yeah. Yeah. The gypsy. So yeah. I think he's, as I said last week, the best thing for him, get this sorted.
What'd you
take
say?
He's still young.
28. Get out of it. Get some time. Get his head right. Because it'd be nice to see him come back and beat Klitschko again if that was ever to happen. Because a lot of people reckon he got lucky. But
Fury won fair and square.
Yeah.
Because I think from my memory, Klitschko had only ever fought one guy who was taller than him. And there was this Polish dude called Marius Wad or Vlad or something like that. But he wasn't like a top-level guy. Tyson Fury is a top-level guy who's actually taller than Klitschko. And I remember one of my mates went to Mike Tyson's meet-and-greet thing that he did in Sydney a couple of years ago, and he said, mate, who do you think's actually going to beat Klitschko? And Tyson himself said, I don't know who it is, but I'm very confident to say that it's not going to be a guy that's taller than him. So it's very interesting that Tyson came along was actually the one to be able to do it.
Yeah, right.
So be interesting to see what happens there. So now Lucas Brown, he is fighting the guy from Puerto Rico, Fraser. I'm going to butcher his name. I can't even say it. It's Fraser Quendo.
That'll do. Fraser Quendo.
Fraser Quendo. So they don't actually have a date confirmed yet, but it's for the belt Lucas was stripped of, even though it all got turned over.
If he wins that, he's legitimately got his belt back.
He certainly does. Yeah, he certainly does. So that guy, he's a bit past his prime, but he hasn't been stopped in his last 20 fights over 10 years. So it's going to be a good fight for Lucas.
Yep.
It's going to be his first fight since.
He'd have a point to prove, and you can just imagine. I mean, Ricky Hatton's his trainer too, and Ricky Hatton's just an old school hard head as well, and he'd have a point to prove as well.
Big time. Like Lucas, his name got thrown through the mud, and I'm actually inclined to believe him. I think we addressed that on one of our first episodes.
We did.
So it'd be good for him to come back. So his promoter, Eddie Hearn, who's actually, he's one of the top promoters in the world now. He's him talking about the heavyweight scene at the moment.
Okay, now to the latest on Anthony Joshua's future. Now, Tyson Fury pulled out of his fight against Vladimir Klitschko for a second time, and that could open the door for Joshua to fight the Ukrainian. For more on this, we can speak live to Eddie Hearn. A very good afternoon to you, Eddie. Before we go into the intricacies of potentially Joshua Klitschko, what's your understanding of the Fury situation? Do you expect him to be stripped of his belts?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, it's been nearly a year now since he's boxed. You know, it doesn't really matter what I think. You know, the governing bodies want that belt to be active, so I think over the next couple of weeks, the contenders in those governing bodies will be putting pressure on the governing bodies. I'm not even sure if they have to. I think they've probably made up their mind already. You know, we don't know how long Tyson will be out of the ring for. We wish him well, of course. but the sport has to go on, and I think the governing bodies will want to get those belts active as soon as possible.
Do you think that Fury, from your understanding of the situation, is going to get back into the ring again or not?
I don't know. You know, it's a difficult situation for him. He needs to get the right treatment and help. I guess they can't put a time on when he'll be back in the ring, and I think that's one of the problems. You know, if it was a straight-up injury, then I think, you know, they could say he'll be back in the ring in December or January or February, but he clearly needs some time away from the sport. And, you know, but like I said, in the meantime, there won't be much compassion, I believe, from the governing bodies, and I think they'll move on and say, OK, perhaps put the champion in recess and move forward with the belts. And when Tyson is ready to fight again, you know, we'll all hopefully welcome him back into the sport. I think he's great for the sport. He's got one of the biggest wins by a British fighter of all time. You know, I want him in the division. I know Anthony wants him in the division, and of course everybody does, because, you know, those big fights are out there. So hopefully he gets well soon and we can see him back in the ring soon. But like I said, you know, the show must go on, and I think the governing bodies will be looking to act quickly.
So does this mean that there is a desire on your behalf to get Joshua into the ring with Klitschko now?
For sure, yeah. I mean, you know, that's a natural fight. When they used to spar together probably 3 years ago, I used to look at pictures and I thought perhaps one day, you know, that's a fight that, in my opinion, you know, the star of the heavyweight division in Anthony Joshua now, and one of the greatest heavyweights of the modern era in Vladimir Klitschko. So on Sunday, I think, or Saturday, we reached out to Bernd Bonte. Since then, we've had a couple of very positive conversations. I was with Anthony this morning in the gym. It's a fight he really wants. If the WBA belt is on the line, which I believe it would be, it's a unification fight between Joshua and Klitschko. The deal's got to be right, of course. We've got Joseph Parker, who's our mandatory as well. We've got to deal with him. That's also a good fight for us if the Klitschko fight doesn't happen. But I'm confident. You know, I don't want to get the fans too excited about that fight, but from Anthony's part, I believe he wants the fight. Well, I know he wants the fight, and I know Vladimir Klitschko is up for the fight as well. It's likely to be Vladimir Klitschko against someone for the WBA title. So, you know, the Joshua fight is very, very exciting. Originally scheduled for November the 26th. We could do with a venue about five or six times the size of it for a fight like that, but certainly discussions are ongoing.
Obviously, mentioning dates there, Fury Klitschko was due to be on the 29th of October. Obviously, November the 26th is Joshua against someone. I mean, would you think that if you can get the agreement done, Joshua Klitschko would take place in November, you know, perhaps on the 26th?
Yeah, I mean, that's the plan at the moment. I think, you know, if Joshua doesn't fight Klitschko, then I think Klitschko will move and try and fight for the WBA world title, the WBO, or whatever governing body sanction it, and then we have the option to fight him in spring, summer of next year. That is an option as well. Sometimes it's all about timing in boxing, and sometimes you don't get these kind of opportunities. Sometimes things come together and you have to strike and you have to make a fight, and I kind of get the feeling that's where we're at with Joshua against Klitschko right now. I think if we can get the deal right, if we can get the numbers right, which I know this is a huge fight, and if we can make that unification fight, then, yeah, I believe Klitschko against Joshua is a favourite for November the 26th of this year.
So moving on to the lighter weight guys, we had Tony Bellew and BJ Flores fight for the WBC cruiserweight title, which is 90 kilos and under.
Yep.
Now, BJ Flores might sound familiar to Aussie fans as he fought Danny Green back in 2010.
That's right. I knew I'd heard the name.
And he also got voted to have the best body in boxing
right.
in the same year as well.
Right,
so
okay.
Naturally, I was going for the fatter guy. So Billy actually volunteered to have this defense. BJ wasn't ranked, but he's a top fighter and he's a commentator on some American channels as
well. Right, okay.
I'm not sure which ones exactly, but He won the fight via a third round TKO, but it was pretty murky circumstances. BJ thought he got hit low. The ref didn't see it. Tony kept attacking as he should have. One of the rounds ended up being a 10-6 round as he got dropped three times.
Yep.
So anyway, the fight was eventually waved off in round three. Murky circumstances, but Tony didn't do anything wrong.
He dropped him and he didn't, and BJ didn't get up until the nine count.
And mate,
right
and
on
you,
nine.
And if you get hit in the pills, mate, you keep fighting. You don't try and milk it.
Yeah.
That's the referee's fault if he missed that. Yep. So after the fight, he called out the former cruiserweight champ, who's now a top rank heavyweight in David Haye. He went a bit crazy.
He lost his shit.
This was awesome. And a bit unexpected too, because Haye hasn't fought a cruiserweight for a long time.
Now we've got to thank our Scottish mate Graham for finding this audio for us.
Good on you, Graham.
I'm sure there are some words exchanged. There were some words exchanged. David Haye, what did you say to him
once
there?
Once again, I was trying to get up there. I have to get up close to express how I feel and tell someone. And you see him, he's been conning the British public since this pathetic comeback of his. Listen to me right now. Let's be totally honest.
Let me stand this.
David, let's be totally honest, brother. Them two guys you just fought, I could be. They're in town now. They're actually, they're either working on nightclub doors or they're putting the bins away. Them two guys you fought last two were a joke. And you're robbing everybody who pays to come in the arena. Listen, you predicted BJ was going to beat me, didn't you? You predicted he was going to be. He got smashed. And you see, you're going to get smashed too. I don't care how deep, how dangerous you think you are. We remember what happened when I was an amateur. And you was fighting for the British title. Me and Pricey spanked you in the gym, and the next day you pulled out against Mark Hobson. And you know what? With 10 ounce gloves on, boy, I'll put you and that pathetic haircut to sleep.
So yeah, he's there. He's just full Scottish accent.
He's into him.
He's calling David Haye SpongeBob.
I just love that bit at the end where he's going, "I'm going to put you and that stupid haircut to sleep." Like, how good is that?
And it was just so unexpected. Even in the crowd, everyone was like, "What the hell is going on?"
But they were all behind him. They were all laughing their asses off.
Oh, it was gold. Yeah. And then I read on one of the videos of it. Tony Bell kicks a Toblerone at David Haye, and being Australian,
Toblerone's
a chocolate.
Yeah, well, a Toblerone, as it turns out. They're the bits of foam ring advertising.
Yeah, they're like a triangle 3D.
They're the same shape as a Toblerone. Because I'm thinking, how the hell is he kicking a chocolate?
Like, man, how big are the Toblerones over there? I'm missing out, man.
Although my missus bought one home from Costco once, man. It was bigger than your head.
Yeah. One hit.
Pretty big.
One hit.
Yeah. Gone. Probably.
I'm with you, man. So the legend, Bernard Hopkins, he's a few weeks shy of his 52nd birthday. He is having his apparently final fight. Of an absolutely stellar career against young up-and-comer Joe Smith. He actually turns 52 like 2 weeks after
and
the fight.
And they're letting him fight.
Mate, he should be. He's actually one of the guys who I'm going to touch it on here, but he's still competing at the top level. Fight he lost was Sergey Kovalev, who's a pound-for-pound arguably, or definitely in the top three pound-for-pound right now.
Yep.
And, mate, For a non-heavyweight, that is unbelievable. Like most heavies, we peak a little bit later physically.
Yep.
So to see a heavyweight fighter in their 40s, George Foreman, et cetera, and still be successful, it's not that uncommon anymore.
Well, Aussie Joe Bugner, when he won the Aussie title, was late 40s, wasn't he?
Yeah, and even old Bob Mirovic.
Bob, he was fighting for years.
Yeah, and well into his 40s and still at a very competitive level. But for Bernard Hopkins to do it, and he's only a middleweight, to compete at the top level, that's unheard of. He's actually freaking nature, and he changed his nickname to The Alien for his last couple of fights. He came out in the full Roswell mask.
Okay.
It was actually pretty awesome. And in my opinion, I reckon he's got the highest fight IQ in boxing because he's the least naturally talented guy. Like, you look at him and Roy Jones fought early in their careers, and Roy Jones is the most naturally talented guy ever. Just a ball of fast twitch muscle fiber.
Yep.
No one could touch him. Bernard Hopkins, you should see the guy run. He just looks so uncoordinated and awkward.
Right. A bit like Matt Damon. Matt Damon can't run.
Can he?
You watch
no
him
good.
In the Jason Bourne movie.
No
the
good.
Bourne movie, and he says, I think it's the second one, he's running along a beach, and he said they took 2 days to shoot that because he's such an unco
really?
When he runs. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's why, because it didn't come easy to Bernard at all.
Yeah.
And he's just had to work that much hard. And I reckon he's got the highest fight IQ.
Yeah, okay.
I put him up against any boxer ever. Like, the way he analyzes a fight and everything he got is just through pure technique, whereas everything Roy Jones got, well, obviously Roy Jones worked hard and his dad worked him into the ground, but a lot of it was just on natural talent. And you could see as they both got older, Hopkins' skills started to shine through and Roy Jones started to have some very heavy, bad losses.
Yeah, he did,
And they're both still fighting, but Bernard, he's taken so much less punishment than Roy Jones.
Right.
I think that's a direct reflection
on
their physical ability.
Yep.
So, what an awesome career, mate. I'll definitely be watching that. And finally, we got some MMA news. So the guy I turned for, my man crush, Fedor Emelianenko, on October 12th, it was reported that his 16-year-old daughter, Vasilisa, was physically assaulted and cut with a knife on her way home from school.
Oh, shit.
The attack occurred days after Fedor publicly condemned the child MMA fight night ran by Chechen Republic president, aka warlord, Ramzan Kadyrov.
Now, we've spoken about Kadyrov heaps here. He's the one that John Oliver on his show has given so much shit to.
He's a warlord.
Kadyrov lost his cat. And he's very... He's very prolific on Instagram, Kadyrov. There's always videos of him working out with dudes and wearing fatigues and punching on and stuff. He's mates with Putin, obviously.
Well, sort of.
Yeah, kind of. But he lost his cat. And so John Oliver got everyone around the world to post photos of their cat.
including
Kadyrov going, is this your cat? So yeah, he had a fight night, didn't he? Kadyrov put on a fight night and his three boys fought. And on an MMA card.
8 to 11.
Yeah, wow. And so Fedor called him out on that.
Well, Fedor he was asked about it in public, and it wasn't a Facebook post or anything, but he just said it's unacceptable and cannot be justified. And I agree with that. Like, it's still a kid's brain bouncing around.
Round in their
head, obviously, the power was limited and this and that. There's a few people that would disagree with me.
Yeah.
I reckon the discipline's great, all that sort of thing is great.
Oh, but martial arts
If I ever have kids, I don't want them fighting until they're old enough to really make up their own mind and decide whether they want to do that or not. Yeah. In the gym, training all the time, awesome, heavy sparring, maybe on occasion if you know what you're doing with a controlled partner.
Yep.
But
not competitive
fighting. 8 years old? Come on, man.
I fought in martial arts tournaments from about 12 years old, but they were non-contact to the head.
Yeah.
And you wore pads on your legs and on your hands. So exactly. you cop very little in the way of punishment.
Exactly. So these kids were like in MMA gloves and all that sort of thing. It was like full on.
So how does that all tie in? So he said it was not on.
Yeah, he said it was unacceptable and cannot be justified.
Yeah.
And high-ranking government official for the Chechen Republic, Adam Delenenkov.
You're doing well, man. You're doing well with all these names.
I'm probably getting them wrong, but it sounds right, so I'm just going to go with it. He said that Fedor will be held responsible for his words against Kadyrov's children. So after the assault on Fedor's daughter, Kadyrov requested to his loyal followers on social media to leave Fedor alone now, as he's probably learned his mistake, which is pretty funny timing considering it was the day after his daughter got attacked.
So it's essentially going, leave him alone, we've already got him.
Like, how crazy is that?
Jesus Christ.
Kadyrov's actually got 30,000 soldiers at his command.
Yeah.
But I'm still picking Putin.
You'd back Fedor,
I think he's
you?
Got the numbers. So, and during the whole thing, Fedor actually, he's actually in fight camp. He doesn't actually have a fight announced, but he's staying in his hometown where he was born in Stereoskol, which is about 600 k's away. So it's like from here to Melbourne away. He didn't actually leave home, so... Wouldn't be surprised if some people start disappearing in that part of the world. It's pretty
bizarre, isn't
unbelievable
it?
Unbelievable set of circumstances, eh? Wow. So, that's a wrap, mate.
Nice.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast is recorded in a bedroom in front of one very disinterested diamond python and occasionally a ginger cat called Alan.
Alan! Alan! Alan!
No, that's not Alan. Steve, that's Steve.
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Time to thank our other wonderful sponsor on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. It is the crew from Lang's Auto, and I know Johnny is getting ready to head off. He's off on the Kent Quality Escapade this weekend.
I'll tell you what a good bloke Johnny is. I sent him a message last week.
Yeah.
And he actually got back to me within like 20 minutes when he was away on holidays down the coast.
Yeah, right.
What a great bloke. I'm not suggesting everyone do that, but.
Well, if you're lucky enough to have Johnny's personal number.
Yeah.
You might be okay. But Johnny and Peter Roberts are heading off they've got a Minion car. They bought a car out of Wollongong that had been used, and it's got two Minions on the top, it's all yellow.
What sort
of
car is it?
It's a EA or EF Falcon, I think. It's a Falcon. I know that much because Johnny's a massive Ford fan, so it had to be a Falcon. Yeah. But they've got it looking really good, and I know they've raised a fair chunk of cash too. So,
awesome.
Good on Johnny and Pete who are heading off to do that.
I was meant to actually drop my car in there this week, but I'm going to have to give old Mira a call again because my ignition, because it's so temperamental. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So
the soccer mum van needs a massive overhaul because you're going to keep it now, aren't you?
Possibly. I don't know. I can't make my mind up because mum actually, she's looking to get a new car as well. So there's a chance I might be buying my mum's car off, and that's just a Commodore. So
Benny,
we'll see what happens.
Not just a Commodore, my friend.
sorry.
It's a piece of Aussie motoring history, Ben, for Christ's sake.
My bad, sorry.
But if you need to get your car sorted out, you're looking for a good mechanic or a team that just won't steer you wrong, all you need to do is go and see the boys at Lang's Auto, 44 Yass Road in Queanbeyan.
Now, on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast,
it's time to get loud
and local.
Here's something you probably haven't heard before.
Local music time. Scotty, who we got this week, mate?
Mate, did a bit of a trawl around YouTube having a look for some Canberra bands, and I came across this one, and I got to put it out there. There's a bit of a conflict of interest with this one because the drummer in my band, Benny, also plays for this band. But Kevin Windross has been in the Canberra music scene for years, and the guy is a gun guitarist. Like, I'm talking Vi Satriani kind of guitarist. He's a freak. Yeah. And writes great songs and sings, so it's really prog rocky kind of stuff, you know. And there was a video of them at the ANU about a year and a half ago doing a song called Bend, and so it's a live version. And I thought, we're going to play this because we've never played any Kevin Windross.
So this guy sings and plays lead.
Sings and plays lead, and he's having a bit of a break at the moment. He's just spent the last 12 months putting together his old XYGT that he's got. putting that back together. So, Kev and the band, I don't know when they're going to be back playing again, but they're fantastic. And if you love your guitarists, you're going to love this guy.
I was going to suggest, like, if you're actually the kind of guy who'd name the whole band after, you'd want to have some pretty good credentials to back it up, but obviously he does.
Oh, man, he does. He's a great player, and he's a really nice human to boot. So check this one out. It's the Kevin Windross Band live at the ANU in 2014. This is Bend.
We'll be right back. guys won the Australian heavyweight boxing title.
The other was told to f*** off by Angelina Jolie.
Squad Goals,
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
It is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty and Benny, and we're going to get to our listener question very, very shortly. But Benny, segment five, this is normally where we have a guest, if we have a guest in the studio.
Or a last minute scramble to come up with something.
Yeah, when we talk about people we've thrown out of pubs when we were bouncers. But I need the help of our audience. So I want to put a question out to the Give Yourself an Uppercut audience, and there's thousands of them. We hit 1,000 or something downloads last week, which was
awesome.
Great.
That's awesome.
So need some help with Slash the Staffy. Now you've seen him grow from a tiny pup to what he is now. He's seven months old and 18 kilos.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah,
so, he's a little ball of muscle and energy.
Mate, he's just a machine. And I did the right thing. I had his nuts off at 6 months, thinking that might settle him
down.
Made
no difference.
It made him worse. It's made him worse, Benny.
I think OCD would be an understatement.
Oh, man, he gets so excited when people come round. And, I mean, you don't see it because you come here, we say hi at the front door, say hi to the missus, walk down here, record, then you leave. So he only sees you for a couple of minutes, and that whole time he's losing his mind.
Yeah.
But if you hung around and whatever, I think you saw him the night we watched State of Origin. He just sat out.
Yeah, he was chilling.
And he was fine.
It was
good. But the problem we're having, and I've had staffies before, and I know they can have some problems with chewing and bits and pieces like that, but it's none of that. And I've never had this with a dog. We can wear him out during the day, take him for a walk, throw the ball around, do all that sort of stuff, you know, put him to bed at like 9 o'clock at night in our laundry. He's in there with our old Pomeranian dog, so they sleep, they've got beds in there, it's nice and warm. But we cannot get through an entire night without him waking up at some point in the night, losing his mind.
Just a ball. Do you actually think it's a chemical imbalance in him where he's just
Whether it's that or whether it's separation anxiety, not knowing where we are or whatever.
So but it's still something he might actually grow out of.
Yeah, because he's got a dog door to go outside and go to the loo and do all that, but he will come in and just wake up. And like on Tuesday night, it was midnight. We put him to bed at 8:30, and at midnight he had to get up. And you can't just ignore it. I know a lot of people will say, like with kids, just leave them and they'll stop. But you've heard him when you lock him behind that door.
It doesn't sound like dog noises.
It sounds like something out of a Wes Craven horror movie.
I was about to say Jurassic Park.
It does. He sounds like a bloody velociraptor, and he just won't stop. And it is so loud. So you've got to do something, or the neighbours will all wake up. And, you know, we let him out, and he gets on our bed, and then we can't sleep because he's 18 kilos and takes up half the bed.
Well, from my experience in watching dog shows... with Caesar Milan. The two words that usually come up the most with Caesar Milan is calm and assertive. Two words I wouldn't use to describe your dog parenting would be calm and assertive. Very assertive. But not as much calm.
I'm a bit too loud, am I? I'm a bit too loud with
you. Slash! Shut up!
Oh dear! So I mean, we've used a local girl. Her business name is Tallywags.
She was great, wasn't she?
Man, she was fantastic. And we are going to get her back to continue his training after the wedding. We just haven't had time. And she was sensational. We had problems with him on the lead, and she fixed it in 15 minutes. And I think you were right. It was probably 10 minutes of training the dog and 50 minutes of training us.
Yeah.
And she was fantastic. So I'll get her back. But I thought maybe someone out there's had a dog like that was, you know, locked in a room in the house that just some point during the night lost their mind until you let them in or whatever.
Yeah, you can't ignore
and them. How you dealt with it. So if you've had that situation or you know someone that it has, please go to our Facebook page, the Give Yourself an Uppercut Facebook page, and let me know what you did or how you solved it, because literally we're sending Slash to a kennel tomorrow for three days.
We're sending him off to summer camp to get some sleep.
So we can get some sleep ahead of our wedding, because I'm like a zombie today and the missus' eyes are about falling out of her head, so we need a couple of decent
and
nights'
it's
sleep.
It's funny with Wocket, your other dog too, because he's just such a calm,
Wocket's so old and calm. She's a cat dog.
Yeah.
She's like 13.
She's just happy just to hang out.
She hates Slash.
Yeah. <She's> like, it's a complete opposite. Like,
what is this thing that you brought into the house and why is it so big? But she's cool. The cat's cool. The snakes are cool. Just Slash is a nightmare. And I love
him. He's in beast mode permanently.
Yeah, he just won't stop.
You just can't get him tired. So, he just can't get his brain to switch off.
No. Yeah, I don't know what it is. But like the minute we'd put him on our bed, out like a light.
Yeah.
But then, you know, about 5:30 wakes up and wants a feed. And he just, all he'll do is stand on your chest and lick your face till you get up and feed him. Which is a great way to wake
clock.
Up.
Who needs an alarm clock?
He needs something, man. So, yeah, I don't know. If you've had that situation, folks, hit us up on Facebook and let us know what you did, because it's driving us insane.
Because I've always been pretty lucky like that, because I grew up with boxers. I had a 16-year-old boxer, which for boxers is unheard of.
Yeah, like, that's normally about eight or nine.
And because they're so, like, hypo, they usually don't live, you know, that long.
Out.
Yeah, they're just beast mode all the time. Yeah. So I've always been really lucky like that. So I actually have no advice for you whatsoever. Yeah.
I had a staffie once I called Chief after Paul Harrigan, and I was living in a rental at Ngunnawal with a beautifully manicured backyard, and he ate every tree.
Past tense?
Yeah. He cost me my bond, that one. And then I had another one called Dougs after Adam McDougall. And
I met Mad Dog.
Well, he bloody... He had a penchant for electrical cabling. So Dougs used to chew through any electrical cabling he could get his gob on. So my mate had a box trailer in the backyard. He used to chew through the trailer lights.
He had a what?
A penchant, you know, a liking for. I'm just trying to you know,
Jesus.
Be a little bit exotic for bloody our French hell. Listeners, Benny.
Bloody hell, I'm intrigued.
So he used to eat those. He ate through the spark plug cable on my Massport mower. That cost me about $400 to have that fixed. So they slept all night.
Yeah.
They slept.
It's funny how a lot of people will let an awful lot of things go, but when you start messing with someone's sleep, you got to do something, man.
Man, it's like I don't like getting up at 3 a.m. anymore.
Yeah, you've done your time.
I haven't done that for 12 months, and I don't enjoy waking up when it's dark anymore.
Well, if no one comes to the table, I'll buy the season alarm box set.
Yeah.
I gotcha. For your wedding present.
Beautiful.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
That's what time it is. What do we got there, Benny?
Well, you've already played the intro. I keep missing the intro, man. I need some headphones.
I've got to get you some headphones. I'm sorry.
All right. We have a listener question as per our intro. I just informed you from Allison. And she's asking Scotty, my 10-year-old son Ethan wants a python. I'm petrified, but I don't want to upset him because he's been a very good boy this year. Please tell me it will be okay, and what sort of python should I get him if I can muster up the courage?
Okay, cool. That's a common one, I think, with a lot of parents whose kids go,
I was keen on pythons when I was a kid.
Yeah.
My dad was talking about diamond pythons. I wouldn't know where to start.
Yeah, right.
What's a good one for a kid?
Well, especially in this case, given that Ethan's mum, Alison, is petrified of them, I probably wouldn't go
bigger.
I probably wouldn't. No. What I would do is probably start with a Stimson's or a children's python, which will get to like a meter long maximum.
Is that bigger than like your green?
No, my green tree python's a baby at the moment, but he'll get to about 1.2.
Oh, okay. So these
1.2,
are like
1.3.
The smaller.
Yeah, they're the smallest of the Aussie pythons. So when they're full grown adults, they will eat one adult mouse per meal. Whereas my guys eat rabbits and stuff, you know.
Yeah, how many meals a day?
One a week, one every 7 to 10 days, yeah.
And what was it? Would you say a Stimson python?
Yeah, Stimson.
From the desert?
Yeah, Stimson desert. Cool. Yeah, that's where they found them. So they're a plain-looking python. You can get some blonde ones that are sort of brown and yellow. They look pretty cool.
Blonde?
Yeah, they call them a blonde because they've got the yellow through them. So
I'd suggest those.
But if you live in Canberra, Alison, you need – the licensing is different in – ACT as it is in New South Wales. In New South Wales, you get your snake license, you can have a snake straight away. In the ACT, you've got to keep a lizard or a turtle for a year before you can have a snake.
I thought you were going to say it was like a cooling off period just in case you're going to attack someone with the python.
No, you've got to keep another reptile for a year.
You've got to prove your worth with...
Yeah, lizards and frogs are harder to keep, and turtles, they're harder to keep than
pythons. Frogs are very sensitive to the environment.
Yeah,
they're one of the first indicators of, you know, natural...
Yeah,
you know,
issues and disasters and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, diamonds, if you get a diamond python, most diamonds have a really lovely nature, but they will get, I mean, up to 9 feet long if you get a male or whatever. So they'll get pretty big. It'll take a few years.
Excuse my ignorance, but do they, with their teeth, do they dub them down or where?
No.
They're just still there? They just
Yeah, they're there. No, they've, like, teeth. Pythons have teeth. They don't have fangs. So they got two rows of teeth in the top of their mouth, and they've got two rows of teeth in the bottom of their mouth. They're in a V shape. okay. and they sit inside each other.
Grab the food and suck it in.
Grab the prey and then they wrap around it. And pythons kill by constricting their prey, so they basically stop their prey being able to breathe.
Yeah.
They're fascinating pets to have. They really are. And once you get them set up and you get the enclosure set up and your lights and your heating and get everything set and on timers and get it all right, they're a pretty set and forget kind of pet.
Low maintenance.
Yeah, they are, especially with the diamond pythons. They only eat for 6 months a year.
Yeah.
You only feed them sort of from October till April.
So the opposite of Slash.
Yeah, the opposite of my Staffy, yeah. So, listen, I'm a bit biased, Alison. I think they're awesome pets. I've always loved reptiles. But if your young bloke's that keen on them, I would suggest, again, if you're in Canberra, going to see Pete and the team at Reptiles Inc. because they know so much more than I was going to ask. These.
Reptiles Inc.
Yeah, they're at Canberra, Queanbeyan, and Gold Creek Zoo. So they've got the three locations. They sell enclosures, all your lights, your heating. They know everything.
And how do you get your license?
You just apply. So just through in New South Wales, it's through Department of Environment, ACT. It'd be through government shopfront, through TAMS, and away you go. So
there you go.
They're great pets. They're good fun. They're not for everyone, obviously, but if your young bloke's keen, you can. They're great fun. And
what sort of python was that on the footy show years ago?
The one that pooped all over.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't poop. That was a joke that Steve Irwin took on. That was just warm peanut butter.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, yeah. He had it in a jar and made it look.
Oh, like there you go.
Yeah, no. That,
well,
that,
my 12-year-old brain fell for that.
Yeah,
one.
No. That snake did not crap on fatty.
What
at
sort
all.
Of.
That was a Burmese python. That
and
one.
They're on the biggest side of things, obviously.
Yeah, Burmese.
Now, what's the size difference between like a Burmese and like an anaconda or something?
I mean, they're all big. There's a 5.5 meter Burmese out at the Gold Creek Reptile Zoo that weighs 55 kilos.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
just all muscle.
Yeah, that's right. His name is Titan, and he's massive.
That's mad.
He is huge. He came up from Mogo Zoo.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, they're fascinating animals. And if your young bloke's keen and he's been good, go and see them and get yourself a snake. They're good fun.
On the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
I think we got a show.
Oh yeah, we got a show.
It's listener request time.
You know, to liven things up.
I love getting listener requests through from bands I've never heard of, especially when that band turns out to be pretty cool, Benny.
Yeah, well, with a name like Bushido.
Yeah, Bushido.
Bushido, which means, what is that, the warrior's way?
Some warrior's way in Japanese.
Samurai code.
Yeah, Matty Ford, Big Matty, said, guys, if you're looking for a tune, play Bushido and their song Original. And I downloaded it today for the podcast.
Is it 80s awesomeness?
Not 80s awesomeness. It's current rock. It's cool. I think it was released about a year ago.
What are we called now, anyway? Was it the noughties and now in the teenies?
I don't know what the hell we are, Benny.
I can't keep up with the lingo. I'm waiting for the 20s.
I just want to play a cool song. Let's play this cool song.
We'll be right back.
There they are. That is Bushido and Original. Not a bad tune indeed for Maddie, who got in that listener request. And if you want to get a request on the podcast or send us a question or tell us to get stuffed or tell us how to look after my dog properly, all you need to do is hit us up on Facebook. Facebook.com/uppercutpodcast is where you'll find us. We're also on Twitter and on the email uppercutpodcast@gmail.com. Benny, you're sweating up a storm there, mate, son, and it's not even summer yet. Like literally,
I'm melting.
This front studio / office at my place. This is going to be like Dante's Inferno.
I'm
going
to have to bring the fridge in and just sit next to it open. I'm going to BYO fridge.
Oh, dear. Now, mate, before we get out of here, last week it was funny. We were talking a little bit about Nick Kyrgios in Stevie P's Wide World of Sports segment, and you two were backing him and just saying, you know, he's a young kid and blah, blah. And I was saying, yeah, but he's done it too much. He's obviously a bit of a dick. And anyway, I think we left it going, hopefully he can move forward. The morning we put our podcast out last week is when Shanghai came to light, where he walked out on court, didn't want to be there. He was just batting the ball over like you did with those old bloody paddle pop bats as a kid.
Walk off before the guy just, even hit it.
Yeah, like that's as a professional sportsman, man, you've competed on the world stage at the elite levels. Could you imagine at any point walking? And I mean, and you're not even earning the money this little flog's earning, because tennis, I mean, we all know how much they get paid. But would you ever put yourself in a contest and then just do that?
Well, that's just that just ends up being a direct reflection on you, your family, your close friends. It just it throws them all under the proverbial bus. It just makes them look awful. Like,
he's got.
How can you do that to your name?
He's got some very ardent fans on his Facebook. I've seen a lot of his mates that he obviously went to school with who's sticking up for him, going, "Oh, when was the last time you heard Nick Kyrgios getting drunk or getting in trouble or doing something stupid in his car?" And it's true. He's never done anything outside of the tennis world to shed a bad light on himself.
They're trying to compare him to Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy. Kind of. Yeah, but I mean, what he's doing on the court, surely that's got to be hurting him now. And it's just come to light that he's gone, because he was given the increased fine by Australian Tennis, and they said if you go to counselling, you'll only have a 3-week ban.
It's just a sports psychologist. So they're not going to dig too deep.
No. They said, you know, you'll have 3 weeks off and then you're back. He's reneged now, going, no, I'm not going to do that. Not
was
it
three months, wasn't it? And it got reduced to 2 months if he agreed to see the psychologist.
No, I thought it was 8-week ban all up.
Okay,
reduced to 3. I thought.
Okay.
And I could be wrong too, Benny, but I thought that's what it was. But it was. I know it was more than halved if he went to the psychologist. And he did a Q&A on his Twitter last night, and someone said to him, "So you're going to do what Australian Tennis said?" And his reply was, "Probs not, laughy face."
Yeah. See, like, even with everything that's come to light, he's still not even taking it seriously.
No, not at all. So, I mean, if do you know what? If he hates tennis so much, quit.
Yeah.
Don't play. You can't go to events like that. There's a guy you're up against who's trained hard, wants to get ahead, and you're treating him with disrespect like that. Not that betting agents should, you know, they make enough cash and they've got no worries, but they had to cancel all the wages on the game. Because of what happened as well.
It's beyond bringing the game into disrepute. Mm. You're showing up and that's it.
And there's only going to be so much time where people will go to bat for you and go, "Do you know what? Deep down, he's a good kid. But yeah, if he keeps doing this kind of stuff, no one's going to want to know him." When people like Dawn Fraser are coming out going, "Block, you know, knife him forever, get rid of him." You're doing yourself and your sport and your country irreparable damage.
And everyone, like I can probably relate a little bit better than average Joe
in terms being of being a sportsman.
Like, maybe I'm only famous over a 30-kilometer square part of the world, but I can relate to you. And I'll tell you what, being in the public eye, it does, you know, every time you leave the house.
Oh, man, I
can understand where he's coming from. Yeah. But for a 21-year-old kid, you got money, things can be a lot worse, mate. When I was 21, man, I'm laboring all day. I'm training at night. I'm getting punched in the head for $200 on the weekend.
Yeah,
it's not that bad, man.
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
you got to put things in perspective, mate. You got kids that look up to you, mate. You obviously he's a kid himself, but you need a break. Just take a break.
I mean, and the fact is, his brother, who was obviously a successful manager of the Gold's Gym franchise and stuff like that, like he's obviously older. His mum and dad, what are they doing? Why aren't they stepping in and going? All his brother does is go, "We'll leave Nick alone." Like his brother just backs him every time he does something stupid. Christos just goes, "Oh, he's a good kid.
Yeah.
And then ask for money to go on radio. Which I think
that's the biggest thing about the whole situation. He's got f you money.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what are you going to tell me to do? Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Probably with his parents, he probably gives them a wage or something. I certainly would in that situation. Yeah. I'm like, Mum.
They don't want to upset the apple cart.
Or maybe. It's just a weird set of circumstances.
I think he needs a foot up the arse.
I think so. I'm going to punch him with my broken ossicle.
All right. Ready? Go. Oh!
Jeez, right hand was a bad choice.
Nick, everyone in Australia, I think, wants to support you. Pull your head out of your ass, stop being a dick, and play tennis. Or if you can't do that, just fucking quit.
I feel like the sports psychologist is going to say that. Are you moonlighting as a podcaster, Scotty?
I don't know what I'm doing, man. That's it for us this week, folks. Have yourself a fantastic week. And, don't forget to share the podcast around and let everyone know all about it. Get a big black dog up here.
See you, folks.
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed write.
And then Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Hey, at least they played some kick-ass music, right? This podcast couldn't be made possible without our sponsors, Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan
and The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Until next time.